Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful for just bringing us to this place today, to bringing us to this place in your word. Lord, we are grateful for the building and the facility that you have provided for us, but Lord, you brought us to this place in your word. There are things that you want to show us and things we need to see. Lord, give us hearts that are willing and open to those things today. Speak to us in that way that you do. Lord, just bring us into your presence. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, last week in chapter 2, as we started chapter 2, we read the story of the birth of Christ. We saw angels and shepherds and a little baby in a feeding trough, and it's a story that we're all very much familiar with. Well, a week has passed, not just for us, but for Joseph and Mary as well. 8 days have gone by as we began our study in verse 21. Joseph and Mary have traveled about 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And they are going to present Jesus at the temple. And there are 3 things that I want you to note in this passage today, and that is circumcision, purification, and presentation. Those 3 things, and actually the focus is going to be on the presentation, and there are 2 aspects of that. Verse 21 says, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Now, according to the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and you can find this back in Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham, I want you to circumcise every male child on the 8th day. That was the day that male children were to be circumcised. God told him, you must circumcise every male. This picture of cutting away the flesh. God said to Abraham, my covenant will be an everlasting covenant in your flesh. It's an interesting thing, amazing to consider. You see, today every follower of Jesus Christ, male and female, we have a covenant with God. When we come to faith in Christ, we enter into a covenant with Him. And there is a cutting away of the flesh that needs to happen. Not physically, I'm not talking about a physical thing here. But the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in us. And when that happens, the flesh needs to be cut away. It needs to die. The flesh is in the process of being cut away. The flesh is in the process of dying. That is a part of our walk. We are being conformed into the image of Christ. It says here that he was named. He was given a name, his name, on this 8th day. According to the Jewish tradition, every son was named after his circumcision. And the reason for that is because back in the book of Genesis, when God gave circumcision to Abraham, it was at that day when Abraham's name was changed. And so this is not a requirement of the law necessarily, but it was a part of their tradition. This is a Jewish tradition that on the 8th day, that's when the name is given. And so Jesus here is given his name officially on the 8th day, but we're told here that it was the name that both Joseph and Mary were given to give to this child. They were both told that his name would be Jesus on separate occasions and at different times. Mary first. She was the one who was told first, his name will be Jesus. Later, when Joseph found out that she was pregnant, not exactly the thing, you know, a prospective husband wants to find out about his bride. But later when Joseph found out about that and the angel said, you know, calm down, relax, it's all cool, it's all good, the angel told Joseph his name is to be Jesus. And so they are keeping the law and they are keeping the tradition in all of these things. And that's what I want you to see as we go through this. Verse 22, it says, and when the days of their purification, this is Mary and Jesus, the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated again in the law. That's the theme in these three verses, in the law, in the law, in the law. Three times it's repeated here. Stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. The law said that the mother and her son had to wait 33 days after the circumcision. This was the period of their purification. And then they were to present him, this son, to the temple. So on the 41st day after the birth, mom and dad would come with the child to the temple to present him and to make the required sacrifice. And Joseph and Mary did this. They were, again, keeping the law, keeping the traditions. The law said, and this is interesting, the law said that if a woman gave birth to a male child, she was unclean for 40 days. Now, if she gave birth to a female child, she was unclean for 80 days. Now, don't look at me like that. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what it says here. It's, if you got an issue, talk to God. This is, but it's interesting that he lays it out that way. But the presentation and the sacrifice were required by the law for every male that, it says, opened the womb, the firstborn male child. And he was dedicated to the Lord. But again, what we see in this is that they are keeping all of the Old Testament law, all of the traditions of the Jewish culture. But guys, I really believe that it is the presentation that is the main point here. You see, Luke begins by talking about the requirements of the law and that Joseph and Mary kept all of those. But he immediately moves beyond that. He talks about Jesus keeping, or Joseph and Mary keeping the law in regard to Jesus because he knew that if these things were not kept, Jesus would be rejected out of hand by the Jewish community. And this is interesting because Luke was a Gentile. Luke would not have cared that much about all of the Jewish trappings of that culture. But you see, we read in the book of Acts that Luke spent years with a guy by the name of Paul. Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. This guy knew the law backwards and forwards. And I'm just sure that a lot of that transitioned to Luke, that Luke began to understand that from a Jewish mindset, this was vitally important. And so he tells us that Joseph and Mary performed all of these things, that they kept the law. But Luke doesn't spend a lot of time here. He moves on quickly. He doesn't talk a lot about Pharisees and Sadducees and priests and all of the smoke and the robes and all of that stuff. He doesn't spend his time there. You see, God is going to direct us. And Luke begins to talk about two old people. Two people who were really probably very obscure, not well known at that time. God directs us to them because what's taking place here, Jesus being announced, it is not the announcement of some other part of Judaism. It's not another element of an old really dead religious system. Joseph and Mary are coming to present Jesus at the temple. But guys, the real story here is that God is presenting His Son to the world. And He uses two ordinary people to do it. Two old, ordinary folks. And this is where I think we have much to learn. We have much to see today. Verse 25, it says, "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him." Now, there are a number of traditions about this guy named Simeon. One of the traditions is that he was 113 years old. Wow, that's really old. These may be true. These traditions might be right. We don't know for sure, but here are the things that we do know for certain. The things that we see in this passage, and three things that I want to point out to you. First of all, he was righteous and he was devout. The second thing is that he was forward-looking. He was looking forward to something. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit was on him. There are some great challenges for us in this passage. First of all, this man was righteous and he was devout. He was righteous before God. I want you to think about this. Righteous before God. He took God's word seriously. God told him something and he held on to that. This guy's 113 years old. We're going to read that God told him, "You will not die until you see the Messiah come." At 113, he's got to be thinking, "Man, did I hear that wrong? Did I get this right? You know, Lord, you better do it fast because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around here." But he believed this. He believed this. He took God's word seriously. He believed God. He was devout. He was devout in his daily walk. His daily walk before man. Before the people that he was around in his neighborhood and at the temple. Guys, this is really the two tablets of the law. Righteous before God and devout before man. Keeping both tablets of the law. He was not sloppy in his walk. He was not sloppy in his prayer life. He was not sloppy in his Bible study. He was not sloppy in his witness. He took these things seriously and he walked devoutly before God. You know, this challenges me. And I hope that it challenges you too. Now, as I look at my life, there are some areas that are sloppy. You know, not terrible sloppy. I'm not robbing banks on the weekends. But, you know, there are just some things in my life that need to be tightened up. There are just some areas that I need to do better. We need to take our walk seriously with God. The second challenge here is that he was looking forward to something. I like this. He was looking forward to something. He was looking forward to Israel's consolation. That's the Messiah. He was looking forward to the Messiah coming. Are you looking forward to something? What are you looking forward to? I want you to listen to what I'm saying. What are you looking forward to? What is really important in your life? You know, I've got a birthday coming up. And I'm not saying that because I want presents from you. But Peggy called me this week and said, "I want you to set a couple of days aside because I've got something planned." You know, and she wouldn't tell me any details. She just said, "You know, block off these 2 days and give me your passport number." And I'm going, okay. You know, kind of take a deep breath, and you know, it's a little scary because she's crazy, you know, and I just don't know. You know, I don't know where we're going to go or what we're going to do. It's going to be fun, whatever it is, it's a little unsettling sometimes. But I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm looking forward to whatever it is she's got planned. You know, there are all kinds of things that we have to look forward to. You know, vacations. We have that to look forward to, promotions, and of course the raises that go with those promotions. When family members come to visit, that's always a fun time. It's almost as fun as the day that they leave, you know, because you get your house back and, you know, come on, now be honest, come on. Yeah, you love to see them come, but then, you know, it's okay, yeah, you got your own home, we'll see you later. All kinds of things that we have to look forward to. What are the things that you're looking forward to? Simeon was not looking forward to a recovery in the stock market. He wasn't looking forward to some miraculous healing. He was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. That was the thing on his heart, that Christ was coming. What are we looking forward to? Let me just ask you. If a nuclear bomb were to go off in New York, Los Angeles, if the stock market were to lose half of its value, if the DOD suddenly came out and said, you know, we're cutting manning by 50%, half of you lost your jobs, how would you react? How would you react? Would your heart rise? Because you realize that what Christ said to us in the Scripture, that these things are beginning to take place and that His return is near? Is His return truly the thing that we are looking forward to most? Or would you be freaked out, panicked? What do we do? How are we going to pay the bills? How do we react in those times? I mean, we look at the world today. Crazy things going on. We're all affected by it. We've got people working 12-hour shifts to support the effort in Libya right now. We see these things day by day. But do you realize that all of these things, the things that we're seeing taking place in the world today, that Christ wrote about those? He told us that they would happen. He said, when you see these things happening, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. Are we looking forward to those things? There are a lot more scriptures in the Bible about His second coming than there are about His first. What are we looking forward to? This man was right before God and man, and he was looking for the coming of Christ, and it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on him, it says. Guys, the more we set our heart and our mind on the return of Christ, the more we will be filled with God's Spirit. I believe that. Verse 26, it says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. 113 years old, and God has told him, you know, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. He could have easily, oh man, I must have misread that. I'm not going to temple today. I'm just going to kick back, relax. But he's listening to the Spirit of God, and he's moving, being guided by God's Spirit. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit will do this for you and me. He will do this for every believer. The question is the Spirit on you? Jesus said to his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Guys, this is a promise to every believer. Is the Spirit on you? It says here that God revealed things to Simeon. And God wants to reveal things to you and me. He wants to guide our steps. But here's the thing. You don't get to that point by a sloppy walk. He wasn't sloppy in his walk. He was serious and he was dedicated and he was devout in his walk. If you want to hear from God, guys, we've got to get serious about our walk with Him. I hear people say, you know, I really want to hear from God. And then as you start talking to them about their spiritual life, that's when the excuses start to flow, you know. Well, the new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu and you know how it goes. We got all kinds of excuses. If we really want to hear from God, we need to get serious about our relationship with Him. God will speak through His Word. But if we are not willing to listen and obey what He says there, then He will not speak to us in the other things. If we can't do the simple things, then He's not going to speak to us in the complexity of life. And finally, he says that he was led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says that all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Now, there's something that we need to see here, and that is that being led by God's Spirit necessarily means, by definition, it means that we are following His Spirit. You know, He can lead, but if we're going this direction, you know, it's not happening. I'll tell you without a doubt that if you have the Spirit of God in you, if you are listening and if you are obeying Him, if you are allowing Him to be the compass for your life, you will, like Simeon here, you will encounter the living Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He is here to speak of Christ. He is here to speak of Jesus and point people to Him. Well, it says next, when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and praised God and said... Now, Simeon's going to say some wonderful things about Jesus here, but I'm surprised here that Mary would just give this child over. I mean, think about this for a minute. You know, if you're in Mary's position, you're a young girl, you have your firstborn child here, and not only that, but he is the Messiah, and some old billy goat hippie looking guy comes up out of nowhere and takes the baby. I'm surprised she didn't knock him out, you know? Give me that child back. But Mary, huh? She just lets him have the child. Amazing. Is the Lord speaking something to her? I think so. Now, Master, and this is Simeon talking here. Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace. Wow. He's run his race. This is the end. He's saying, Lord, you can let me go home now. You can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. As this is at the center of what we believe. You will not depart this world in peace until you see His salvation. And there is only one salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. You cannot leave in peace until you see Him. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity in the school that I went to in Texas. And one night, a group of us were out late at night. You know how guys are. And it was out in the country, dark country road, no lights. It was raining that night. And the guy that was driving ran a stop sign and just didn't see it. Somebody in the back seat screamed out, you know, stop sign. And so he slammed on the brakes and we slid across two lanes of traffic and stopped just at the yellow line, you know, that divides the traffic. And the moment that we stopped, a tractor trailer rig just went screaming by us. Now, I wasn't saved at the time, but God used that event to get my attention, to let me know that life is fragile, that it can end at any time. You know, I wasn't ready back then, but I am now. I am today. I'm ready for what the Lord has, for when He wants to take me. But guys, sooner or later, we all pass through that veil. Sooner or later, we all come face to face with eternity. Our lives are dangled over eternity. And only those who have seen the salvation of the Lord can make that passage in peace. You know, do you have that peace today? Do you have that peace this morning? Because we're all departers, every one of us. We are not stayers. We're not sticker-arounders, whatever that word is. We don't stay here. This is a temporary place. Death is total in every generation. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said that war does not increase death. Disease does not increase death. Because death is total in every generation. Whether you die in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, or if you get to live a long life into your 90s or 100s, you face that end at some point. And the only way to go through that veil in peace is through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Well, verse 31 says, "You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Joseph and Mary are amazed here. They have been hearing some incredible things by this old gentleman, Simeon. But one of the things I think that was amazing them in what he said was because he talks about the Gentiles here. That was never even a possibility, never even a consideration for a Jewish mindset that the Gentiles would come in. And so they are amazed by what they are hearing here. And then Simeon blessed them and told his mother, now listen to what he says here. "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Boy, there's some wonderful things in this message, but there are some terribly troubling things in this message as well. He says that your very soul will be pierced so that the thoughts of hearts may be revealed. You know, God pierces souls sometimes, not all the time, and I think less often than not, but he pierces some souls so that the thoughts of others will be revealed. When the thoughts, and when you read that word thoughts, read sins. When the thoughts, when the sins of others are revealed, that's when conviction takes place. The conviction of sin. Guys, that's the first step towards salvation. That is our first step on the road to salvation. The conviction that there is something wrong, there is a problem, that I am separated from God. And when that conviction takes place, that sets us on the road to salvation, to meeting Christ. Your eternal destiny is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. We are all departers. But the question is, what have you done with Christ? Verse 36, we meet this second lady, and we'll quickly get through her. It says, there was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. Wow. You know, most girls at this time were married about the age of 15. And if we take that number and say, okay, she's married at 15, lived with her husband for 7 years, that would have made her about 22. The husband dies. And now for 84 years, she has lived as a widow. And we're going to see what she does here. But think this through. This young girl, with all of the hopes and dreams of every young girl, finds maybe the man of her dreams, maybe not, but maybe the man of her dreams, lives 7 years. Seven is an important number. It's the number of completion. But she lives 7 years with him in the joy of marriage, and then he's gone. And now for 84 years, she's been a widow. But she's not moping. She's not in the bars. She's not taking drugs. She's hanging out at the temple, fasting and prayers. This is an amazing woman. And at that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about Him to all who were looking forward, and notice, looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, the Messiah is talked about here. So she continually spoke about Him. Now, we don't know how long she lived. We're not told here. But if she was probably about 105, you can guess she didn't last too much longer. But for as long as that period was, she was speaking of Him. There are always open doors. There are always voices, always people speaking about Christ. But those doors don't stay open forever. Those voices aren't speaking forever. They are silenced at one point. Are you walking in righteousness before God today? Like Simeon, devout to God, devout before men in the way that you live your life. The thing that will help keep us on track doing that is looking for His coming. Realizing that it could happen at any moment, that it could happen any time, that He could call us home. What are you looking for? What is the thing that you are most excited about? I'm looking forward to His coming. I'm ready for that now. I'm ready for it today. If you've been encumbered by the things of this world, or maybe even gotten sidetracked by the things of this world, if there are things you need to repent of today, I would invite you to do that business with God in this place. Speak to Him. He is here and He is wanting to hear from you. He's wanting you to get back on track with Him, living in righteousness and living devoutly before men. But if you don't know Him, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know that there is an open door today. There is a voice that is calling you to know Him, to walk with Him, to live in obedience to Him. But that door is not always open. That door at some point will close. I can't tell you when it is. But the voice will stop calling. You need to take care of that business today. I'm going to have Enos come up and close us with a final song. My prayer is that you will take these things into consideration today. You know, just ask the Lord. You know, if you're not hearing from Him, if you're praying but just no response, ask Him, you know, Lord, is there something in my life? Is there something I am holding on to? More than likely, you know that there is. You need to confess that. You need to repent of that. And get that walk back with Him so that you can finish strong, finish the race. Because the days are drawing close. The days are wrapping up. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for bringing us to this place in Your Word. Lord, so many things for us to consider this morning. So many things we need to pray through and pray about. Lord, I ask that You would, in every heart today, that You would be speaking and that You would be moving. You know the things that we're all dealing with, each one of us, individually. Lord, move in this place today. Lord, speak to people today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.